Hare Krishna. We welcome you to today's Sunday festival at ISKCONU Dwarka, which is a tradition that has been continuing for about 46 years, yes, established by Srila Prabhupada. And tomorrow we will be observing the appearance day of Srila Srivas Pandit, who is a member of the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya in five features. And those of you who are familiar with the process of Krishna consciousness know that every time we chant kirtan, we begin with the Panchatattva mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. So, Srivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Srivas refers to Srivas Pandit. And Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda means that he is the leader of all of the other devotees. And as we will read in today's verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, to make progress in spiritual life, one needs the mercy of the devotees. And Srivas Pandit shows us how to get the mercy of devotees. But for now, we will read about the principle enunciated in many verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. But we will read Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Text 23. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jivan chavo bhagavatam grirenum naja tu markyo pilabeta yastu Sri Vishnu padya manujastu lasya shasvan chavo yastu na veda gandam. Translation. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees, nor for the Vishnu deity in the temple, creates a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offerings by such impure ghosts. So we'll read more about devotees, but just to get a basic understanding of what a ghost is, according to the Bhagavad Gita, which is the basic textbook of yoga, there are two categories of energies, the superior energy or spiritual energy and the material energy or inferior energy. The spiritual energy by nature is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And the material energy by nature is the opposite. Temporary, full of ignorance, and full of misery. Now, within the category of the material energy, there is gross energy. We would say solids, liquids, and gases. And there are subtle material energies called mind, intelligence, and false ego. The Bhagavad Gita explains that the body is like clothing that covers the soul. And just as we have our outer garments and undergarments, the outer garments are made of gross matter, liquids, solids, gases, and so on. And the subtle body is made of mind, intelligence, and false ego. That's like the undergarments. Now, according to the laws of karma, we get our next life according to the activities of our present life and our thoughts at the time of death. But the body of a ghost is in a different category. People get the body of a ghost mainly by some unnatural activity, such as suicide. Suicide is is an activity that will result in one's getting the body of a ghost, which is a very painful existence. Generally, someone commits suicide because he or she is very frustrated in life, very disappointed in life. In other words, the person has material desires that have been frustrated, and so the person commits suicide. And God, Krishna, fulfills the desires of the living entities. So the person didn't want a gross body. Okay, so he won't get a gross body, but he'll have the subtle body. And all the person's desires are conserved within the subtle body, within the mind. So the ghost has all the material desires within the mind, but does not have the physical body with which to fulfill them. Some years ago, there was a movie called Ghost. And devotees who saw the movie believed that the writer must have read Srimad Bhagavatam, because it quite accurately depicted the miseries of a ghost. For example, there's one scene in the movie where the ghost is on the train platform and wants to have a smoke. So the ghost, in that subtle form, is like sort like banging on the vending machine that sells the cigarettes. But he can't actually get cigarettes because he doesn't have a gross body, but he has the desire. And therefore, ghosts try to possess the physical body of someone else who has a physical body. So they are in a very miserable condition, and they create fearful conditions for others because they're often are trying to get possession of someone else's physical body so they can fulfill their gross desires, which are in their subtle body, through the other person's gross body. Now, when someone is possessed by a ghost, you know, he will say things and do things that are not natural to him. And Srila Rupa Goswami explains that the pure soul who has desires for material pleasure, sense gratification, or impersonal liberation, merging into the Supreme, are like ghosts. Because the nature of the soul is to serve Krishna. Every one of us wants to love and be loved. And that desire to love and be loved can be perfectly and completely satisfied only in relation to Krishna, the Supreme Soul. So when we desire anything other than to love the Supreme Soul and be loved by the Supreme Soul, we're like a person who's possessed by a ghost and has thoughts and desires that are not really his or her own. And these desires to gratify the selfish desires of the senses, or even to obliterate one's individuality and try to merge and become one with the Supreme, are completely foreign to our original nature as spiritual beings, individual souls who are part and parcel of the Supreme Soul. Now, sometimes a person may be very attached to an inanimate object, like a castle or a palace. And at the time of death, the person may be thinking of that palace. But he can't take birth as a palace. I mean, so he may take birth as a ghost within the palace. And therefore, many big mansions, castles, are haunted by ghosts, by the previous owners who were so attached that at the time of death they were thinking of that mansion or castle and then took birth as a ghost in it. And usually these haunted houses are put on the market for a low value, because nobody wants to live in a house that's haunted by ghosts. But our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, said we could buy these mansions, and by performing kirtan, chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, the ghosts will go away. So we can get a very nice castle to make a temple of Krishna at a very low price. Now, coming back to the second part of the verse, most important part of the verse, so just to reread the last sentence from the other part, the Lord never accepts any offering from such impure ghosts. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. This is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, evam parampara praptam, that one should receive the knowledge of yoga through parampara. Parampara means literally one after the other. So the original guru is Krishna, and he has his disciple or disciples. His disciple has his disciple. His disciple has his disciple. And in that way, the perfect knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, of yoga, is passed down through disciplic succession. So in the present age, from time immemorial, there have been four paramparas, and the one here, and this is special for reasons which we may discuss if we have time, but Krishna imparted the knowledge to Brahma. Brahma imparted the knowledge to Narada. Narada, by the way, incarnated in Chaitanya Lila as Srivas Thakur. So Brahma imparted the knowledge to Narada. Narada imparted the knowledge to Vyas, who compiled the Vedic literature. Vyas imparted the knowledge to Madhvacharya, and in this way it has been passed down through disciplic succession to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his immediate followers, the six Goswamis, then through disciplic succession to Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then to Srila Prabhupada, and then to us, and to all of you. And just as the knowledge is received through disciplic succession, service is offered through disciplic succession. The student serves the teacher. The disciple serves the spiritual master, who has in turn served his spiritual master, who has served his spiritual master, and so on. And the service is conveyed through that chain to Krishna. So it is a perfect system. As long as one is connected to that chain, and it is as if that chain is reaching down from the spiritual world into the material world for us. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the Lord wants to pick up the fallen souls who have descended into the material world. It's just like a person will reach down with his hand to pick up an object that has fallen. So that hand is the devotee, the spiritual master, the disciplic succession. So we'll just read one more part of the purport. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Judd Bharat as to how he had attained such a liberated position of a Paramahansa. And in answer, the great saint replied as follows, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.12. Rahugana tapasanayati nachejaya nirvapanad grihadva na chandasanai vajalangi suryar vina mahatpadarajo bishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahansa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. In other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees, and as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. A pure devotee, therefore, never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants, and thus the Lord becomes pleased. And only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck to the Lord's lotus feet. So, those of us born in America and other places would never have had the opportunity to come in touch with a pure devotee had Srila Prabhupada not come to America and traveled all over the world. And it is only because we had that opportunity to receive the dust from his lotus feet, or in other words, to receive his divine instructions, that we have been able to engage in devotional service. And through disciplic succession, that opportunity is available to all of you, and you are taking advantage of that opportunity. And the most essential process of devotional service, especially in the present age, is the chanting of the holy names. But according to scripture, the holy name should be received from a pure devotee. It's not that anyone can just chant and you get that name from that person and get the same result. And Srila Prabhupada said that anyone who gets the holy name from him and then repeats the holy name, the people who hear the holy name from that person, it is the same as if they were receiving it from Srila Prabhupada. So this holy name is very potent. It's coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who infused the holy name with his own love for Krishna. And through disciplic succession to Srila Prabhupada and to us. So we should take advantage of this wonderful opportunity and constantly, Kirtaniya Sadhari, whenever possible, always chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes. One, two, three. We'll go from junior to senior. Well, receiving it from a, quote, impure devotee who received it from a pure devotee is fine. But there are people who are not at all devotees who are chanting, especially now kirtan is very popular in yoga circles, and those people may not be devotees at all. That's different. But if you receive it from a devotee, it's fine. Hare Krishna. Yes?
Thank you, Maharaj, for your wonderful presentation. You were mentioned that a ghost body is given to someone who committed suicide. So what about someone who who died in an accident?
It's not necessarily so that someone who dies a violent death will get a ghost body. It really depends on their thoughts at the time of death. There was one devotee whose car stalled on the train tracks, and the train was approaching, but naturally he was sort of fiddling with the ignition, trying to get the car to start. And he was absorbed in that, but he couldn't get it to start. And then he looked. He saw the train was bearing down on him, and there was no way he was going to escape. So he began chanting Hare Krishna. And then at the last moment he thought, what will happen to my wife? And then the train hit the car. That was his last conscious thought. Now, fortunately, he lived to tell the story. But generally, if one thinks of a woman in one's next life, one will take birth as a woman, or vice versa. If a woman thinks of a man at the time of death, she'll take birth as a man. But there are many other factors. But it's not that because it's a violent death or a sudden death that one will take birth as a ghost. One could take birth as a devotee. No, one could even go back to Godhead. It really depends on the way the person has lived his or her life and the person's thoughts at the time of death. Hare Krishna.
What if somebody commits suicide because they can no longer stand to be away from the Lord anymore, and so the last thoughts of him dying from his own hand happens to be of Krishna and the desire to come back? If he has to take a birth as a ghost, is he like a devotee ghost?
Well, that's a very good question. That is a very good question. Actually, Lord Chaitanya had a devotee named Sanatana Goswami who wanted to commit Vaishnav suicide by throwing himself under the wheels of the chariot of Lord Jagannath at the time of Rath Yatra. But Lord Chaitanya, being the omniscient Lord, understood the desire of Sanatana Goswami and told him that if I could obtain Krishna just by giving up this body, I would give up hundreds and millions of bodies. But you cannot obtain Krishna in that way. You can obtain Krishna only by pure devotional service. So you should stay in your body and develop pure devotional service. And that way you will attain Krishna.
Maharaj, thank you for a very beautiful, easy to listen to, easy to understand, crystal clear explanation of many important points about devotional service. My question is, what is it exactly, ideally, that we're trying to achieve here? In other words, what's the ultimate goal that we're hoping to achieve by practice, accepting this philosophy and sort of participating in this whole way of life?
Yeah, the ultimate goal is to develop love for Krishna and enter into your eternal loving relationship with Krishna. And that can be done even while you're on earth. It doesn't mean you have to go somewhere to do it. But that is our goal, to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. Yes.
People like John of God who channel and heal kill lots of people? What is that?
Yeah,
is
it's
that
related. It's related to ghosts. There are people who have the ability to, you could say, communicate with ghosts, and they can get the whatever knowledge the ghost has, if the ghost is willing to share it, can be given to that medium, and he can use it for different purposes. Tomorrow, I'll take the opportunity to mention it. Tomorrow is also the disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada's disciple, our dear God brother, His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj. Sridhar Swami Maharaj ki jai. And Sridhar Swami, he had hepatitis C, and he went to Brazil to get healed. And he went to this, I think that probably the same person. And there are many details. There are many details. But that John of God, he, you know, because Sridhar Swami was a very spiritually advanced person, so he sort of wanted to use him as an example for his instructors and other patients. So he had like a meeting with Sridhar Swami, and you know, he asked Sridhar Swami, like, what were you in your past life? It's like he was going to say what Sridhar Swami's previous life was. And Sridhar Swami replied, "I was a worm in stool." Now, that was like a joke. But it's also the humility of a Vaishnav. He doesn't really think he was anything in his past life, that he's no better than a worm in stool until his Guru Maharaj saved him. So when he said that, everyone cracked up and started laughing. And it was sort of embarrassing for John of God. And then Sridhar Swami, being, you know, a kind-hearted Vaishnav, you know, he said, "I'm sorry, I didn't really mean to make a joke of what you're doing. But the fact is that I really had no value whatsoever until I met my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada." But yeah, I mean, it's like he could do like surgeries, because he could get in touch with a surgeon who had left, huh?
Yes, the surgeon goes and the Swami goes that you get in touch with on the station, because you think of them and they're there, they're on their ever-present chakra.
Yeah, whatever. So, but the point is that this is all in the material realm. I mean, I discussed ghosts because it's in the verse and purport, and we should understand there's the gross body and the subtle body and the soul. But what's really important is the soul. The other two are temporary. And the relationship of the individual soul with the supreme soul, which is the only thing that can really bring full satisfaction and bliss to the individual soul. So that was our ultimate purpose. But thank you for that. Yes?
So is ghost same as the subtle body without the gross body?
Yes. A ghost is a living entity with a subtle body with gross desires, but without a gross body to fulfill them. There are other beings who don't have gross bodies. They're more elevated than human beings, but they don't have gross bodies. But a ghost is someone, on the earth who has gross desires, but no gross body, only a subtle body. Yes. Yes. Well, let us take it off of the personal platform, because I don't know Eckhart Tolle. But let me ask you, what does he teach? And we'll compare what he teaches to what the Bhagavad Gita says. And then we, on the basis of the standard of the Bhagavad Gita, we will assess his statements. Well, I would be, you know, I don't really know what to say about him. But if we want perfect knowledge, it has to come from the source of perfect knowledge, which is God or Krishna. And that knowledge is received through disciplic succession. So if anyone, Eckhart Tolle or Oprah Winfrey or anyone, is not receiving knowledge through the disciplic succession, then we cannot be assured of its authoritativeness. And, you know, we are on a very low level, and, you know, sort of like when you're down, anything can look up, but there's degrees of up. And the highest degree of up is Krishna and the spiritual world. And that's our ultimate goal, and that's our ultimate home. And so we should accept whatever is favorable to reaching that goal. And, I wouldn't like dabble in too many different things, because you know, it could just confuse you. And we should really just, you know, come to the process that we want to follow and unfollow it with our heart and soul. And if we don't look here and there, like, you know, then we'll, like horses, they put like blinders on them, otherwise they get distracted and they go off track. So, I mean, it might seem like we have a narrow vision, but it's not. We actually can see everything and we know everything is going on. But when it comes to our spiritual progress, we remain focused. And like there's one story in Mahabharata. Anyway, there's so many wonderful stories, but the idea is that there was a competition, and there was a fish that was hanging, and then there was something turning under it, and it was like very complicated. And the different archers had to shoot the fish through the eye, you know, with a bow and arrow. And no one could do it. And then finally Arjuna, who is Krishna's student in the Bhagavad Gita, he did it. And when afterwards, when they asked him, like, how did you deal with the turning rods and this and that, and he didn't see any of it. He said, all I saw was the fish's eye, and I shot it. So, you know, we should be like that. We should just see Krishna. That's our goal. And not be distracted. Then we'll reach our goal. Yes.
And bring us back to Godhead, then why do impure devotees exist?
He's saying if Krishna consciousness is meant to purify our existence and take us back to Godhead, why do impure devotees exist? Well, it's a gradual process. It's like if hospitals exist to cure people of their diseases and release them from the hospital, why are there sick people in the hospital? Well, the reason is it may take time for them to get cured and released. But ultimately, yeah, that is the goal, that they become cured and released from the hospital. Yes, Bhagavati.
Incident where the ghost was trying to get the cigarettes from the cigarette machine, but he couldn't interact with it. But people report sometimes seeing ghosts, and there's ghost stories where objects fly through the air, or people hear the rattling of chains sometimes, or the stomping of boots. And even in the Lilamrita, there's that one pastime where when Prabhupada was staying at John Lennon's estate. That's what the people who there were reporting, that's what they were hearing.
Yes.
And so how is that?
There is possibility for us to interact. I don't know if you've had the experience of like feeling a ghost is like when you're sleeping and like a ghost is trying to get possession of you, and then like you try to chant the holy name Hare Krishna, and as soon as you can do that, then the ghost leaves. So it's not that you can't perceive their presence, but they don't have gross bodies. But we can perceive subtle things. Certainly we can perceive subtle things. Yes.
Is it true from my own experience I've noticed that chanting Hare Krishna strengthens your physical senses with all the indriyas of the horses, the ears, nose, eyes, tongue, touch. Is it true that chanting Hare Krishna strengthens those senses? Because I've noticed that my stomach.
Well, the chanting purifies the senses. Yeah, the chanting purifies the senses. And then when your senses are completely pure, you can see Krishna. Or to speak of other subtle beings, you can see Krishna himself. All right. Okay, last, I guess.
Maharaj, you couldn't speak too much about Srivas Pandit? Are you going to speak tomorrow?
Yes.
Yeah, arrivo.
Yes, for more about Srivas Pandit and how to get his mercy and by his mercy get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees, can come or tune in to tomorrow morning's class at about 7:30. And I think I'll also speak more about our godbrother, His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.